Sarah, on Extraordinary Lives, we've already spoken to Ray Martin.
Certainly.
Uncle Ray.
Yeah.
Pete Murray.
Absolutely.
And we have got a legend with us. We have got Eddie Maguire.
Hey. Hi, Eddie.
Good morning,
Hello,
Ed.
Hello, guys. Great to be with you.
Likewise.
Eddie, is it okay if we talk about your extraordinary life?
I don't know how extraordinary it is, but we can have a crack at it. That's for sure. As long as I don't bore you to death, Sarah and Patty, it's great to be with you.
All right. Let's get into Extraordinary Lives with Eddie Maguire.
Sarah and Patty's Extraordinary Lives.
Our extraordinary life we're looking at today is Channel 9's Eddie Maguire.
And I guess when you think about the opportunity to talk to someone like you, Eddie, you get a bit nervous thinking about it. But
I wouldn't have thought so. Why is that?
No, no, but I'll tell you why. Because we watched you so many times on television, whether it be The Footy Show, whether, you know, Millionaire or whatever it might have been, even when you did the stint as CEO. And I guess you just think, how do you get to be Eddie Maguire? And for us here in New South Wales, we never had AFL at our schools. We never had that sort of thing. So the first time we did see you, for a lot of people, was hosting the game show and doing it so well. But you started well before that in sport.
I did. I started as a 13-year-old. I got my first paid gig writing for the newspapers, covering AFL football and cricket. And I was lucky enough to cover my first international cricket match when I was 15 years of age.
Wow.
At the MCG, and sitting alongside people like Henry Blofeld and you know, all the international English cricket writers, you know, the biggest names in sport at that stage, and Australian sport, was just wonderful. So, you know, I was still, what was I in, about year nine, I think it was, and filing my copy, and in the great tradition of journalists, they dragged me down to lunch in the long room, and remembering that you know, the week before I was trying to get into the southern stand, into the public section, suddenly in the long room as a 15-year-old, and
wow.
They gave me a couple of beers as well to go with it, and we went back and filed copy in the afternoon again. So yeah, it was an amazing time for a young bloke who, you know, I lived in a housing commission house in Broadmeadows. My parents came out to Australia. I was the first one of my family born in Australia. So, you know, it really was the land of opportunity that was drummed into me by my parents. And I got the taste of it very early on in life.
Eddie, how do you fit it all in? You're breakfast host, Triple M, president of the Collingwood Football Club. You do The Footy Show now. You also write for The Sun. You do other TV shows.
Family
and other
Man.
Family Man. Mate, how do you fit it all in?
Oh, well, I actually run my own business as well. And you've left out Fox Footy, which is a major
huge,
part of my
yeah.
life.
Yep.
And also the Melbourne Stars Cricket Club. But you do all that because, you know, I love the idea of having a varied lifestyle. I think one of the things that is key to life is never become jaded. And I think a lot of people, even if they get into a job that they love, sooner or later, they become jaded. You know, it was the joke that if you're handing out gold bars in the main street, there'll always be somebody who complains they're too heavy. So you've got to have an optimism about you. You've got to decide that you want to do the job. Don't complain. Don't explain. Get on with it. And if you want to have a go at life, then do it. You know, you might hit the wall occasionally, and that happens, but you've got to make sure that you're okay. You've got to make sure you can do the jobs properly. But the enthusiasm of life is what drives me, and I just love being involved in projects. I like to see if these things work. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they do. Don't be afraid of failure, because, you know, you're going to get that. Don't be afraid of criticism, because the old saying, if you're not copping flak, you're not over the target, is pretty much, you know, what's going on. And in this country in particular, people want to have a go at you if you step out of line or step out of the norm. But if you're prepared to have a go, the success, or the at least the joys of trying, far outweigh any of the negativity that comes your way.
Well, you did have a go when someone said, hey, do you want to host The Footy Show, back in the early 90s?
Yeah,
and
I did,
that must have been scary. Like, do you think, well, okay, well, I've never done that before. Good Lord. How do you just put on your brave pants and go for it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we pushed the idea. It was sort of my idea. Mm. And at that stage, no sports show had ever worked in prime time on Australian television, which is quite remarkable given the sports-loving nature of our country.
Huge.
But, you know, we're able to do something, particularly in the southern states at that stage, because a lot of the sports that the sort of demarcation, what they used to call the Barassi line in the old days, between northern states and the southern states, was always NRL versus AFL. And as a result of that, you couldn't get a national show. And everyone tried to do these national sports shows. So we got a little bit lucky in that we were able to do it in our own hometown and in the footy states, the AFL states, and it worked. And then by the end of the year, David Leckie decided that why don't we do this in Sydney as well? And the NRL show with Fatty, which became, you know, a great brother relationship up there with the NRL show at the same time as the AFL show. So we're able to be parochial in a lot of ways that you wouldn't be able to do in a national show. And I think that was the success of it. It was a local show. I believe as media becomes more international with the internet, radio and television will succeed by being more local. We were able to hit that at the right time, and we came in with a different look at it. We broke stories. You know, we had fun.
We broke traditions.
We did everything, and then became the tradition, believe it or not, 24 years later. So, yeah, it was just something. And at the right time, I was only a young bloke. I was 28 years of age, mad on the football, wanting to make a name for myself, came across from Channel 10 to Channel 9. And, I was going to make it work come hell or high water. And, you go in with these things, the best way to do it is to go in with that naivety. And we did in a certain way. And suddenly this thing took off.
Eddie, with hosting Who Wants to Be a Millionaire since 1999, when the kids were at school, were you ever asked by the school to host a trivia night?
did that ever happen?
Well, I was into everything. I can promise you. Oddly enough, I was in the school play and I played a football club president. There you go.
Get out of here.
Are you really
serious?
In Alan Hopkins, The Big Men Fly. And, I know, I fitted nicely into that. I actually quite enjoyed it. Little did I know that 19 years later, 20 years later, I'd actually be a footy club president.
So, well, there you go.
Do you know, the first time, I mentioned early in the piece that we really didn't get any idea of what was going on south of the border regarding sport. The first time we got it at school was really David Williamson's The Club, where we got to hear, read and do the play and, you know, the whole thing. And I was fascinated. It was like another country for we New South Welsh kids. But how is it then to be able to be involved in something you're so passionate about and be there at the top, be there wheeling and dealing and making it all happen for such a huge club like you do? Is that just such a buzz?
Yeah, it is. It comes with the responsibilities. The most lonely I've ever felt in my life was the night in front of a huge crowd at the Camberwell Civic Centre in Melbourne. I became the president of the Collingwood Football Club, and the club was in a bit of trouble at that stage, and everyone's on stage, the other directors singing the club song, and the crowd are going nuts. And I looked down at my wife and she looked up at me, and I'm 32, and I thought, if this doesn't work, I could actually end the Collingwood Football Club. Suddenly, all the pressure and all that came down upon
it hit
me. It's the old thing. It's a lot of people like to call, as I describe it, like to carry the business card of life, but don't want to do the job. And the responsibilities are onerous. And when you step up and you're the person, you've got to make it work. So, you know, it is great to be in there and it is great to, be doing the job, but it does come with the responsibilities. And that's what weighs on people in these, you know, these roles. I mean, for the Collingwood Football Club, which, by the way, the club was based on, it means so much to people. It's not just a football club. It's a way of life. It's their being.
It's
their
religion,
connection back to their parents. It is a modern day religion. It's the thing that they put their trust in. So you want to make sure you do it right, and that's the pressure. The upside is when you get it right, it is the most amazing thing. When we were winning the premiership in 2010 and on that roll, there's nothing like it on earth when you've got 100,000 like-minded people just going and urging the players on and being part of something special. It takes you outside yourself. And then, of course, we're able to manifest their homeless campaign through Collingwood, where every night 300 people are living in our houses and 3,000 meals a week are going to people who are down on their luck. And, you know, you're able to promulgate an ideal rather than just turn up for a game of footy. And, Collingwood stands for a lot more than just a game of footy these days. And it's been a pleasure to be part of that history.
Ed, speaking of responsibilities, did you enjoy your time as CEO of the Nine Network?
Yeah, it is. This gets written up upside down. And we did a lot of big things there. I came into the role. We were going to produce a lot more. Unfortunately, when the sale went through, which we sold Channel 9 for $5.5 billion, James Packer just made any other business deal in the media look like sideshow time. And then Kerry Stokes was able to come off the back of that and do a similar deal with Channel 7. So they were amazing days for both Kerry Stokes and for James Packer. When you look at what Channel 10 got sold for the other day, I think it was $200 million, but with the debt stripped out, it was probably $80 million. It's a long way short of $5.5 billion. But, I mean, there was other things involved in that. Of course, there was the magazines the magazines were in that and 9MSN. But anyway, the bottom line, it was a big deal. But we were able to rejuvenate Australian drama in a lot of ways. We did Underbelly. which really kick-started a new generation of Australian drama. You know, we were able to get the London Olympic Games, which was a huge coup for the Nine Network, and it was a great time. There's a lot of great things happening there.
You've met a lot of crazy people, and, you know, just looking at what you've said so far, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, how would you pick? How could you possibly pick the craziest person you've ever worked with? Is it Sam Newman? I mean, really? Is that, or is there someone even better than that, that you thought, no, that's it, that ends it all for me, I can say I've lived now, I've been with that person?
Well, you know, lucky enough as you guys are, when you're in radio and television, you get a front row seat to humanity and to the world. You know, rock stars, politicians, celebrities, people who are, you know, in and out because of notoriety. But, yeah, Sam Newman is a very unique man. I mean, you guys only see a little bit of him, and that is probably the caricature of the guy. I see the guy who is actually John Newman, who is one of the most generous people you could ever meet on air. And I say that because he'll throw himself on any grenade to get the result to keep the show going. And at the same time, he's one of the most generous people off air, and an absolute gentleman. Now, he has his moments. He has some old-fashioned ideas at times, and as a result of that, we do not agree on many things, to be perfectly honest. When you look at the two of us, we come from completely different socioeconomic backgrounds. We have different religion in the old days. He's a Protestant, I'm a Catholic. He went to Geelong Grammar, was the son of an English master, the great Noggin Newman. They've still got a Geelong Grammar where Kerry Packer and Rupert Murdoch went to school. Newman Hall down there, named after his father.
Wow.
He played for Geelong. He was a great footballer. And I'm the bloke who came, my father was, had a pit pony in the mines in Glasgow, and my mum came off a farm in Southern Ireland. They were 10-pound tourists coming out to Australia and grew up on a housing commission. And yet I'm supposed to keep him in line. How does that work?
I don't know.
So we sort of had somewhere along the line, we've switched roles, if you like. But having said that, we at times feel like we can read each other's minds, and there's a great chemistry between us. And now I have a great love for Sam as a friend. And on air, I love working with him.
Eddie, those long lunches, looking at you now, have those long lunches gone, and how much weight have you lost?
I was always a very skinny boy and always was there for a while. But, it's like when you hit it 40 and you're busy and you're running around and you're working hard and you're tired and you end up putting on a kilo and a half a year or so, and then suddenly you look at yourself and go, well, hang on, what's happened here? I've become a pudding.
What was the day?
I only half joked when I said I looked out the window one day and saw this fat old bloke coming towards me and realised it was a mirror. So you can only have half a brain and read all these things about type 2 diabetes, heart attacks, and realise, hang on, I've hit 50. I'm on the back nine of life. So if I want to actually get to the clubhouse in good shape, I better get in good shape. So, I did. I just went on a diet and a fitness campaign, dropped 20 kilos, and feeling a lot better for it, and feeling really good. And back on air, I'm a lot sharper. My energy levels are up. So for anyone who's out there who's saying, oh, geez, I've put on a little bit, you know what you do? You've just got to find what's good for you, whatever the diet or the training regime is, and then stick at it and go for it.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to a lot of people who've said, oh, what did you do? And I did this Chinese herb thing. But, people say to me, oh, you take the herbs, but you can still eat. I go, no.
It's a lifestyle.
It's not a magic potion. And, I can still have a drink. No, you've got to get off it until you actually get down to the weight that you want to get to. And the whole thesis of this is actually to get to your natural body weight. And when you think about it, if you're carting around all this fat around your guts or around your ass, it can't be good for your internal organs. And the way to give yourself the best possible chance is actually to be in the shape that you should be in naturally. So that was what I did. And
yep.
And thank goodness I've sort of got nearly there.
And Eddie, what about the fact that, okay, that's good for you, but it's lovely to know that you actually you'll be an inspiration for some people. They'll watch you and think, I could do that. He's done it. I might do what he's done. And really, people do follow on. So it's nice to know that too.
Yeah, well, it is. And I've got a lot of people, particularly in Melbourne, who have followed on for it. And, guys my age who are in the same sort of thing. Everyone's busy these days. It doesn't matter whether you're a tradie or, you're in a professional job or whatever you do. Everyone's busy because we've got kids. You've got to get them there. You've got to go to parent teaching. Yeah. You come home after a long day's, got every intention of doing a training session.
Sure.
And you sit down and you have your dinner. You go, I am absolutely stuffed. I just want to watch a bit of TV and relax and talk to my wife or talk to the kids or do something with them. And then they want the schoolwork helped. All that stuff gets on top of you. you get up the next morning and go, geez, I need to fire the body up. I need to fuel up the, you know, to keep going to get through the day. And you need a bit of comfort food as well. And that's what happens. And you start piling it on without even knowing. And sooner or later, you've got to take the stock take. So I'd sort of put it in my mind that we put on fat because our bodies hold on like we were cavemen. So I decided, right, okay, that's there in case you don't kill the wildebeest over the winter. So what I did is I went a month without having wildebeest, and the body did what it naturally does, and it chewed through the fat, and as a result of that, I did what your body is actually built for.
Eddie, on Extraordinary Lives, two more questions.
Yeah.
This is for $1 million. It's going to be A, B, C, or D. Your favourite TV show, is it A, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, B, The Footy Show with Fatty Vorton, C, Ooh. Ninja Warrior, Ooh. Or D, The Channel 9 News?
Oh, that's an easy one. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire All Day? There.
Okay.
The one that pays the wages.
Okay.
But,
time's up.
But you know what? But I'm so lucky in that, you know, the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was the most successful quiz show in the world. And, you know, we've changed it a couple of times now with the hot seat and still continues to power along. So I'm very lucky, as I said earlier, where you don't want to get jaded. And I bounce around. I do a lot of things, but each one of them is so different. I think it'll do your head in if you're just a footy writer or you're just hosting a quiz show or just doing a radio show at times. Well, the variety in radio is sensational.
Mm.
But,
yeah,
I mean, that's why I love it. And, you know, hot seat is just giving me another string to my bow that I didn't expect, didn't ever plan, and it just turned up and away we went.
And marking so many wonderful people's lives as well. Eddie,
that's the best
just,
part.
Isn't it? And just on that, you know, you talked about how many different pies there are that you've got fingers in all and variety and things, but you've got
especially
to stay.
Especially those magpies.
Magpies.
Go Collingwood 2019.
You've got to stay grounded though, Eddie. Just finally, who is your best friend?
Oh, my wife. Without a doubt, my wife Carla is, from the moment I met Carla, my life and my career went through the roof. She's not only my life partner, but she has helped me facilitate the greatest joy I have in my life, and that is two wonderful boys and our family unit. So, you know, I have no doubt in the world that it would be a different story altogether if I didn't meet Carla all those years ago. So, no, that's the way you keep grounded. You know, you really have to keep your eye on the real prize. The other things facilitate your life, but for me, the family that was the example that was given to me by my parents and my brother and sisters, and luckily Carla comes from a similar type of background where family is everything, and as a result of that, you do keep yourself pretty focused and realise that the rest of it is, as I said, facilitating the family life that you want to have.
Eddie, we're not going to get you to sing the Collingwood anthem.
I was going to get you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have never had it on 2GO, but Eddie Maguire could be singing. Eddie?
Have you got the song there?
Oh, you
good
know
what? Old Collingwood Pariah.
Hold on, you sing it, Paddy. I want to hear that. You know,
he's out.
Crank up the old-fashioned song.
Get out the trumpet.
We'll be back out there next year again singing it with any sort of luck. We had a bad year this year. We missed the final, so we've got a bit of work to do at Pieland. So looking forward to getting stuck into it again next year.
Eddie Maguire, thank you for joining us on Extraordinary Lives.
Sarah and Patty, it's been an absolute pleasure.